Well, this morning, so good morning, everyone. My name's Ryan Bailey. If you don't know me, I'm just one of the members here at this church. And Pastor Jim's out of town this weekend, and so he asked me to fill in for him, so I am. But he also asked me not just to prepare a message, but also to update you guys as the church on our military ministry that we've been doing. So if you don't know, I am on staff with full-time with the Navigators, which is a worldwide ministry, and I'm on staff with the Navy Navigators. So we focus on a mission field of the Navy part of the military, Navy Marine Corps, and so we're trying to reach people in the Navy for Christ and help them grow in their faith and make disciples there in the military and the Navy right here in the San Diego community. So that involves all of the bases here, and it's a really good time. So I wanted to just share an update what's happened over the last, about 5 months, and I brought some slides up and some pictures so you can kind of see. It's not really you can never do it justice with, you know, what you're doing in your life or what your ministry is doing or you know, what God's doing. Like the back there by the donuts, whenever you're grabbing a donut, just kind of look up, lift up your head, look at the wall, and that's our basically like our missions board, and there's usually an updated or recent current newsletter from some of our missionaries that we as a church and a family of Christ support and have sent out. So people in East Asia and Pakistan and all over the world, and of course Hope and I are doing it here right in San Diego with the military. So check it out. But whenever you see a picture on a newsletter, it just doesn't, you can never squeeze really context, the good enough context into a newsletter or even a slideshow. So I'll do my best, but there's just so much life that happens on a day-to-day basis on base and at our house and at the beach and all over San Diego where we're doing stuff with sailors and helping them grow in their faith. So bear with me, but it's kind of just a snapshot in time. And, you know, some of the best stuff, like when I'm meeting one-on-one with a sailor, you know, like if we're praying together or reading the Bible or something, I never think to like, oh, I should ask this random stranger over here to take a picture of us doing this so then I can show people that we actually do this. And it's just weird. It's like, hey, can you hold off on, you know, just pause your prayer real quick. I want to get a picture of you praying. So, you know, anyway, it's challenging. So does anyone know what ship that is? That's right. Ricky, you know. Ricky was deployed on the ship with the America. So that's when you came back from deployment, Ricky. So Ricky's a helicopter pilot. So it's not really his ship. He's not ship's company, but that's okay. He's a good supplemental asset to the ship. And then, so so yes, like I said, the Navigators, that's the ministry we're on staff with here, and just show you a little bit of what we've been doing since about February. So next slide, please. Okay, so make sure I'm not in anyone's way who's in the front row. All right, this is not a cool picture, but this is where it all started 5 months ago. Like Hope and I got married, and we moved into that box, and it's 200 square feet, and that's all the stuff you could fit in it. I think I don't even know if we fit all that in it. Some of that was in the garage, but so you walk up those stairs, and that was our little studio apartment on Coronado down the street, which was really awesome, and we moved in there. And then, long story short, we went home to Washington for Christmas break, came back, and they were like, hey, we just bought a house up north. You guys are going to have to move out in 3 weeks. And Hope nannied for them full-time, so that was like half of our income, too. So I was like, okay, cool. You know, Happy New Year. And so we you know, started praying about it, and like a couple days later, Jim called me into his office and was like, this is crazy, but multiple people have approached me completely separately and had the same idea. And I was like, what's that? He's like, well, they think we should rent the house out next door to the parsonage that the church owns for you and Hope to do your military ministry out of. And I was like, well, that's great, but we can't afford the going Coronado rate for a three-bedroom house, so that's not going to work. He's like, I know, that's what I told him. It was crazy. But then his wife said something, and so that really perked his interest. And so anyway, long story short, he thought, okay, God's doing something here. He goes, you know, we'll figure out a way to make it work. We'll work with you, but we need to ask the leadership team to pray about it and approve it, and then the whole congregation has to vote and approve it. So, and then like a couple days before we had to be out of the studio and move somewhere, you guys as a whole church voted to move us into the studio or the three bedroom parsonage next door to do our ministry out of. So, that's a huge blessing and stuff. So I just want to thank you all for that. And it's been a blessing to others too. So we'll see what that looks like. Next slide. Hey, I know that guy. He looks kind of like Luigi in this picture because he had his sweet deployment mustache. That's Ricky. He's back there. That's right when me and Jamie and Fitz and Keith and some others went to welcome Ricky back from deployment. Just like a simple thing like that is such a huge deal. And he didn't expect to see us. So we were in the hangar waiting for him, and he flew in with a squadron and landed. And there's a helicopter right outside, and got to just kind of hug him and welcome him back. So that's one thing we like to do is welcome sailors back from deployment as well as send them off. Next slide. This is a Super Bowl party outreach that we had. So we had it, Becky's here. So we had it at Gabe and Becky's house just down the road. They opened up their home and had a big group of military and civilians over and put the word out on base and invited people over and had a bunch of pizza and, yard games in the backyard. And we killed the TV at halftime. And missed JT at halftime? Justin Timberlake? Okay, yeah, we missed that. It was probably good, but who cares? And we turned it off at halftime because you never know what's going to happen at the Super Bowl at halftime anymore after Janet Jackson and that whole ordeal. Yeah, so we ended up, my buddy Keith, who was a rescue swimmer, and now he's working and doing ministry too with the military. He shared his testimony about how God changed his life and how someone came alongside him when he was in the military and helped him grow in his faith, and he started reaching out to other guys in his command and stuff. So we brought a really cool message in there, so it was really cool. Next slide. This is T. Some of you guys might remember him. He was out here with the Navy. He's a brand new surface warfare officer going to BDOC, and we had him for a little while. And this is actually on the USS Kearsarge. It's on the East Coast in Virginia, so I got to go up on the ship with him and go out and visit him in Virginia and catch up. He got plugged in with the navigators here, and then we sent him out to Virginia and plugged him in with the navigators group out in Virginia. So we have navigator staff and groups that are running Bible studies and game nights and frisbees and just all kinds of stuff all throughout the week, just like we are here. So if someone's in the military, they can plug in as soon as they have PCS or move to another location so they can have fellowship and community right away. So he just got promoted, and so we got to go on there for his ceremony. Next slide. We have a conference every year. This is just the Navy navigators, so staff and any of the people that are involved with our group or sailors that are coming to our Bible studies or just connected in any way are welcome to come, and it's called the Laborers Conference. And it's people who are laboring, active duty people in the military who are laboring for Christ in the kingdom in their workplace and trying to share the good news of Jesus in the workplace while in the military and come alongside guys and disciple them. So we got a conference every year out by the Naval Academy, and we're actually going to do it here, West Coast, in San Diego this coming year. So more on that in the spring. We're all about illustrations in the Navigators, so you'll see us drawing stuff on napkins or paper or whiteboards and just kind of a visual aid to the message of the gospel or a principle of discipleship or something simple. So a lot of times a Bible study will start off with someone drawing something on a whiteboard, and it's cool because people can write it down. They can put it in their notebook. They have it, and they can go out and share that week with somebody. It's super simple. All right. This is when we went out to cross-train with the Army Navigators in Fort Bragg. They have a huge, huge ministry at Fort Bragg. It's pretty amazing. Hundreds of people involved. And this is kind of some of their key laborers and what they were writing down and strategizing on that board. They're so strategic, and that's what I love about the Navigators. It's like, how can we reach the people around us? And the people that are coming, how can we get time with them and disciple them? How can we make sure someone is at least following up with every person and someone's getting time and getting discipled? So that's like a list of all the brand new guys on that whiteboard that have come out to their Bible study recently. And basically, they were just jotting down names of some of the more mature laborers and leaders in the group that are active duty guys. Like, all right, who's getting time with Jeremiah? Okay, we got John. He just showed up. He's been here twice. Who's going to get time with him weekly? Okay, who's going to? So they just assign people and make sure nobody's slipping through the cracks, so it's really cool. Next slide. This is just some of the family and the crew. Just thought I'd just put some personal pictures in there, too. We got my brother-in-law, Nate, to the right of me, my father-in-law, Hope's dad, Roger, who looks angry and holding a baby with an axe near their head. And I have an air cannon in my hand, and I'm standing on a trebuchet. So this is kind of stuff we like to do on the weekends and Nate built the trebuchet out there with Ben, Hope's little brother Ben, my brother-in-law Danny, He's a Navigator staff active duty officer in Naples. He's our Navigator representative in Naples. So it's pretty cool. He's out there kind of pioneering the discipleship in the military out there. Anyway, next slide. Anyone know what ship that is? Huh? That's right. You got it. Okay. Yes, the USS Carl Vinson, they're coming back. They came back from deployment. Some of us went out there to welcome the sailors that that were involved in our Navigators discipleship group, and we send people off constantly off on deployments and underways and then welcome them back. So that was cool. Next slide. This is one of the guys. You've probably seen him at church here, Lieutenant J.G. Brian Cunningham. He's a new 60 pilot, so he's a great guy. He's actually out in RIMPAC right now, like a lot of the other guys, like Alex Azeltine as well. So one of the guys I've been meeting with one-on-one, mentoring. Yeah, next slide. This was a gender reveal we did for our baby girl that we're supposed to have any day now, hopefully not during the sermon. She's literally due August 1st, but someone, a friend of ours who was due pretty much the same day, just had their baby like on Tuesday. So, we, you know, who knows? So just hold on for like an hour, babe. Okay, cool. All right, next slide. We go hiking a lot Saturday mornings. Like, and sometimes people look at like the pictures that we're putting up on in our newsletters or on our San Diego Navigators Facebook page or whatever. We're trying to just like throw things out there, and it looks like a lot of fun a lot of times, and it is, because that's what, you know, life is about. Like, you can have a lot of fun. You can go hiking and stuff like that, and it's not just about going into a classroom like this and just having Bible study all the time. Like, you can't just have Bible study 168 hours in a week. In fact, it's more effective, in my opinion, to live life and do everything you can interwoven with your life and someone else's, and let your life pass off and rub off onto them. And you can have spiritual conversations on your way up a mountain. You're getting lots of one-on-one time with people. And so as long as you're intentional, you can do anything and really be passing your life on to somebody else. And they see how you follow Jesus if you invite them into your life. But if you only meet in sort of like DMZ zones or like neutral locations, nobody's really seeing into your life. So that's kind of one of the strategies of discipleship that we're about with the Navigators. All right, next one. Game nights out in Hamul at the Smith's house every Saturday night, basically. They've been doing it for at least 5 years, at least every Saturday night. Almost, they barely ever miss a night. We climb up the mountain, watch the sunset, and people bring guitars out, play music, play games, run around with the kids, do fun stuff, you know, share life with people. All right, next one. This is one of the first game nights we got to have next door. I thought I'd throw that in there. That was super cool. Had a bunch of people over, and it was a really good time. Hoping to have some more of those. Next slide. So one of the things we do on base is not just like meet on Tuesday nights and like have a Bible study, but we want to also be reaching out to new people that may not like hear about a Bible study and be like, oh yeah, Bible study, I'm all about that. Because we're not just trying to reach, you know, Christians or the church. We're trying to reach not Christians or the unchurched people that are on base and help them get to know God and grow in their relationship with him. So this is me and my buddy Matt. He's awesome. He was in the Navy. He's a bosun's mate. Now he's trying to go back to buds to make it through, to get into the teams, and to minister and be a light for the kingdom on the SEAL team. So he's an awesome dude. So we go out on base. Sometimes we'll meet for like an hour and a half before the Tuesday night Bible study on North Island. And we'll go out and walk around base, and we'll go to the food court, we'll go to the gym, we'll go to the MWR, we'll go to the Liberty Center, like wherever, we'll go to the barracks, and we'll just go and talk to sailors and just like, hey, what's up? What's your name? Like, where are you from? Get to know them. And we'll get to pray with people if they need prayer, or we'll invite them to Bible study and things like that. So just doing outreach is like a thing. And we take sailors with us. Like, we invite everyone from our Tuesday night Bible study, like, hey, we're doing outreach next Tuesday before Bible study. Show up an hour early if you want to learn how to share your faith with other people. We're going to show you how to do that. So we like to model and demonstrate as much of the spiritual aspects of life as we can, because it's easy to sort of teach people like what the Bible says about doing something, but it's hard to do it when you've never seen it done before. No one's ever just said, hey, come, let me show you. So we try to do that. Next slide. I'm glad I didn't wear that actual outfit today, now that I think about it. those are my clothes, but that's actually Bailey Thomas. He's running sound up there, running the slides. So I lent him my clothes for a little while, and I almost actually wore that exact thing today. So Anyway, so Bailey, this is our Tuesday night Bible study behind the chapel on North Island. It's at 6:30 if you're active duty. Come on by. You're welcome. Family's welcome. Kids are welcome. Whoever. Yeah, Bailey, we like to get, like, we're not up there standing in front of everyone on Tuesday nights and just teaching them lessons. Like, we want to get sailors equipped and trained to lead their own Bible studies and to share their testimony with a group of people. That's Bailey sharing his testimony here, how he came to Christ and how God changed his life. Or share a devotional or a whiteboard illustration or lead one of the small groups after we break up into small groups and study the Word. So we're trying to train and equip people in there. We're not just trying to like, hey, come to our Bible study, sit down, and we're just going to talk at you. So we really want people to step up into all the positions of leadership so the active duty sailors take ownership over the Bible study so they're really running it, and we're just supporting it and helping equip and train them and disciple them as they grow. Next slide. This is just how it happens. This is a cool photo. Like Pablo, I literally met him at the conference out by the Naval Academy like 2 years ago. He's stationed in Virginia. He is, so I've only met him like one time. He came out here. He's out for here for RIMPAC. He texted me. He's like, hey, I'm looking for some fellowship. I'm out here for RIMPAC. I'm like, dude, come over to my house. And then like some of the other guys like Jonathan and Bailey, and I'm not sure who else was coming over that day. And we had some pizza, and I was literally thinking in my mind, I was like, man, it'd be super cool if these guys like Bailey and Jonathan that haven't been around the Navigators that long could hear, hear something from someone else like the other than me. And like, of course, Pablo, he's an active duty guy, been around the NAS for a couple of years on the East Coast. Jonathan and him were just talking about, we're all talking about scripture memory and how you can do that, and oh, I totally forgot about that. Are we going to just dismiss them then and go to the classrooms? Okay. If you have... Again, you don't have to do your message now. So there was a children's message. Yeah, I forgot about that. I'm sorry. So if you have kids and they're going to send them to the classrooms for children's church, second grade through sixth grade's over here, and ages 3 to first grade are over here. So kids, you guys are dismissed to your classrooms. Okay, announcements for the end. I'll at least remember that. Anyway, long story short, he shared the wheel illustration on a paper plate with Jonathan, and Jonathan thought it was super cool. So, like, you got a napkin or a piece of paper or a paper plate, if you know some illustrations on how to share the gospel with people or share them some principles of living for Christ, you can grab anything you got and a pen and just share it with them. And he just grabbed a paper plate and started drawing it out for him. So it was really cool. All right, next slide. We go and play ultimate frisbee and spike ball and just get in the waves and just have a beach day, usually every Sunday at 2 after church and after lunch. So this is Matt and Bailey and Jonathan getting after it on spike ball. Matt is, he's kind of extreme. So next slide. Yeah. I think he hit Jonathan in the face and then he looks super intense right now. It looks like he gave him like a forearm to the head. And then there's Evan over there. He's like, what, dude? That was a foul. Next slide. And then he's the only one that does this, obviously. So that's Matt again doing some kind of like front flip, you know, hitting the ball. And I don't know, he's really good at spike ball. Next slide. Bailey. That's Bailey doing a dive, getting it up. So it's a really fun game anyway. So we just do this on Sunday just to get together. And it's a great thing we can invite sailors out to. And our sailors who are part of our group can invite their friends from the barracks or their friends from their command out. And they're not like, it's not some thing that they're like, ah, yeah, I don't want to go to church, man. That's not for me. I don't want to go to a Bible study. It's just not for me. It's like, hey, I'm going to the beach to hang out and play some games. Like, and they'll come, and then we can build a relationship with them from there, and then they can decide if they're interested or not. All right, next slide. This is just me sharing a devotional on Tuesday night on base. Next slide. This is praying to send off guys when it's time for them to leave and go to their next command. We like to pray and lay hands on them and send them out, just like they did in Acts. That's Garrett. You guys remember Garrett? He took off, and he's in Florida right now. Next slide. Garrett, another sailor, sharing his testimony, how God changed his life. And next slide. Just another thing I kind of do. This is the middle school wildlife crew, and Wyatt's a leader of those guys. And this church is a big supporter of wildlife and young life, so it's kind of cool to have that crossover there. Sending them off to camp. There's like, I don't know, what about 50 kids? Yeah, there's like 54 middle school kids that went to Young Life camp for a week to hear about Jesus and have the time of their lives. So it's pretty cool. Next slide. I just put this in there because this is Alex. He's a SWO. He's at RIMPAC right now. He's on the USS Sterrett. It's a destroyer. He's a good friend of mine, and I like to spend a lot of time with him, and he's one of the key guys that I like mentoring and discipling. And this is just like how you do it. Like, this is part of it. Like, just inviting them over to your house all the time and just involving them with your life. Hey, I need to work on the garden. My wife wants these like wooden things screwed into this brick wall. Can you come over and help me? And so just doing random stuff like that, and then afterwards you sit down and you can like check in and see how they're doing spiritually, and you know, teach them something if you need to, or just pray or whatever. So it's interweaving, not compartmentalizing life, but interweaving spirituality into everything you do. All right, next thing. Sean Christman, he's another guy that I meet with when he's here. He just graduated SEAL training. He's an officer. He was in the Army, switched to the Navy. He's a good guy now. And he graduated SEAL training, and they sent him straight to the Middle East. I won't say where, but it's for only 3 months, so he's kind of getting his feet in it right away. So next, pray for him, pray for Sean. This is one of the awesome things we've been using the house next door to. Morning breakfast for sailors, just inviting guys on base over for breakfast before church, and then they can come right next door or come to church afterwards with us. It's been super cool to get to know and meet new people. And we do usually, if we didn't do a breakfast, we'll take some people over to the house after for lunch, and just getting to keep meeting new guys. And then it's also a great thing that guys can invite people to. So next slide. There's Brian Cunningham, the pilot. He's sharing a little devotional with the group again. Next slide. Another beach day out at Mission Beach. Next slide. And then we had the rally. We had the discipleship rally, which was our first one we've done here in San Diego in a long time. And we literally had 100 people at my house next door. There was like 100 people there. We had tacos, and people were just hanging out for like an hour and a half. And then we shoved everybody into the church, and some people had to leave. So we had about 80 people in the church. It was about like this full, just one night, got together people who were interested in following Jesus and learning more about how to do that and how to make disciples. So had a testimony and a teaching. It was awesome. We're going to do those more often, probably once every 3 months. So we'll let you know when the next one is. Next slide. Another picture from the rally. Next slide. And then just a fun video or picture of shooting the Mission Minute videos. If you haven't seen some of the discipleship resources we're trying to put out, partnering with my brother Andrew Stroud, he's one of my mentors, and we're putting out 60-second videos, 3 of them per week, called Mission Minutes. And they're just like a 60-second snapshot and a thought on a principle of just following Christ or making disciples and just helping people kind of grow in that throughout the week. So check it out. Look at Into the Harvest on social media or whatever, or on all the platforms. So next slide. There's Alex's ship, the Sterrett, coming back from his deployment. Next slide. And there's Alex, and then 2 other sailors who are on the Dewey, which is the Sterrett sister ship. So they all got back, and they all were part of our Tuesday night group. So next slide. And Alex, this is another thing we do. This is a good snapshot of it, even though it's blurry. He's out at sea, and he got a little bit of time to get on his phone. He was close enough to an island where he got cell service and called me doing an exercise. So a lot of times when guys are on ships, we have the technology now to actually stay in contact with them. We can FaceTime, email, Skype, all kinds of cool stuff when we can, when comms are up on the ship. It's not like they go away for deployment or an exercise for 6 months and we can't have any contact with them and can't continue mentoring them and checking in with them and helping them grow spiritually and helping them be on mission on their ship while they're deployed. So constantly checking in with them on FaceTime and stuff like that. Next slide. Jonathan, you guys probably seen him around the church. He's gone now. He went to Mississippi to his next training, but he just graduated SWIC, the SWIC program with the Naval Special Warfare Program. And then next one. And then there's Bailey, who's running the slides right now. He just graduated. SWIC Pipeline is also going to Mississippi. So It's pretty awesome having these guys around. Next slide. Is there a next slide? Have a great week. You're done. No, I'm just kidding. So, Bailey, do you want to come up here for a second? All right, Bailey's just going to take just a couple minutes. Don't worry, it's not going to be super long. And he's going to share with you. And don't worry, I don't have a 30-minute sermon for you. I actually have a really short message because I knew we were combining this. But Bailey's going to share just, it's better to hear from his mouth than just mine about what's been going on.
Hello, everybody. I'm Bailey Thomas. I've been here for almost a year. I've been with the Navigators, hanging out with these guys for about 6 months. And I'm from Washington State, and I've been to a couple Bible studies up there, but never anything like the Navigators. And there's a couple things that the Navigators do that really stand out. One of those things is we learn the Word, but we don't stop there. We learn how to apply it in our lives and learn how to go out and, you know, touch other people and spread the good news about Jesus to other people. And that's something that I haven't really been influenced as much until I met guys like Ryan and Matt and the Navigators. Another thing that we do is we spend a lot of time together, and being able to watch these guys, like how they live life as Christians and, you know, what it's like to follow Jesus and just watch and observe and, you know, hang out together. That's another thing that they do that's really influential. I got a story. So I used some of the tools that the Navigators taught me this past weekend. My parents came down for graduation, and they were staying at a hotel in Mission Bay. And I went down to the hot tub at night, and me and my little brother were hanging out there. And there's a guy who's probably like 6'6", 320 pounds, sitting across from me, just a mean-looking dude. And I'm like, hey, how you doing? So we start a conversation, and it leads to a spiritual conversation, which is something that Ryan's really taught me, how to turn a regular conversation towards Jesus, which is a good tool. And so spiritual conversation comes up, and I find out that he's an atheist. So we start, you know, talking back and forth, and I just say, hey, can I pray for you? And he's like, I don't know about that. That's kind of weird. And he ends up agreeing to let me pray for him, and just instantly starts crying. And I'm like, I don't know what's going on here, God, but take the wheel, please. It ends up, you know, we go our separate ways. And then 3 days later, he texts me, and he's like, hey, man, I linked up with a pastor down here, and I decided I'm going to follow Jesus. So stuff like that, those tools that guys like Ryan and Dave and the Navigators have taught me have changed other people's lives through me because of them. So that's great. And one more thing. So for me, I'm headed down to Mississippi, and I'm going to join up with Jonathan, and some of you guys might know Nate Martinez, who used to be here. We're all going to meet up and have a Bible study down there. So just pray for that we could impact the guys in NSW and that they would hear God's word through us. So, yeah, that's it.
Awesome. Thanks for sharing that, baby. So great story. He shared that with me, and I was just blown away. I was like, man, like they exchanged numbers so we could follow up with the guy, and the guy just texted him 2 days later and said, hey, man, I came to Christ today. I just want you to know. So pretty amazing. So praise God for that and those kind of stories. And God just responded to Bailey's faithfulness. It wasn't like, you know, you don't have to know everything or be super eloquent or have everything figured out. He's looking for people who are just willing to be faithful and share the message. So it's really cool. It's been awesome to walk alongside guys like Bailey and Jonathan and all the other guys that are here. So that's pretty much it for the Navigator update. And just thank you for giving me some time. I don't get to do this very often, so I hogged as much time as I could do without being convicted. And the last thing I'll say about our ministry is that Hope and I, our entire military ministry and our budget and everything is completely self-funded. So we have to raise all our own support, and we're nearly fully funded. And God's blessed us, our ministry, like incredibly in the last couple months as far as funding goes. So we're nearly there, but we are looking for probably about 20 I would say 20 or 30 more monthly donors and supporters. So if this is the type of thing that you want to be a part of and invest in, then come talk to me or Hope, and we can have you over to the house and talk more in detail about what that means and have you over for coffee or lunch or something like that. We'd love to get together with you. But, yeah, so we need monthly supporters, and people are given anywhere from, you know, $50 a month to $500 a month. Like, there's no magic number, in case you're trying to think, what do you guys need? Well, our needs are just what God puts on your heart and what you can do. So just think about that. Pray about that. We'll be fully funded if we pick up about 20 more supporters. So I'd love if you just pray about it. But thank you for praying for us and continue to support us just through this church. It's awesome. So we're gonna keep getting after it, and we'll have more updates maybe another 5 or 6 months from now. But you can always get a personal update if you want to come and talk to me. All right, thanks, guys. So what I want to talk to you about briefly here is, let's see. Do we have the, when you get a chance there, Bailey, throw that sermon slide up if we have it. Well, on the front of your news, on the front of your bulletin, you'll see it. If you have the full bulletin, yeah, there's a picture there. And the reason why I chose that photo, it says following the master. I put the words in there, but I love the photo because it has the cross in there. It has this mountain scene, and that's upside down, but the scene in the picture within the shape of the cross is actually right side up. And it's kind of like life. Like, that's kind of how everything in the kingdom of God is. It's upside down and sort of not necessarily the way we think it would be, or we are just our human wisdom would say that things are supposed to be. And I think we sort of gloss over terms like following Jesus or making disciples or following Christ, whatever it may be, really casually sometimes, because we hear it so much in church and we've heard it so much in Bible studies if you've been a Christian a long time or whatever it is. And sometimes you can skim over it, and almost like we all have a preset bias in our mind for every word and every term that you hear and things like that. And it just, you think you hear a term, you think this is what it means, and you have a preset definition from what you probably learned first or what you've learned. So this one, I think, is one of the something that's really important that we may have lost or lost some aspects of, almost like the definition of terms of what it means to follow Jesus and make disciples. So I just want to talk about what God's word says about that. So in the Navigators, we talk about the three M's: master, message, mission. All right. So you need to know the master, who's Jesus. You need to know his message, which is the gospel, and you need to know his mission and how, what he's trying to accomplish and how you can become a part of it. All right? So if we want to have the best opportunity to understand God and his purposes and become a part of that, so we need to really wrap our minds around and think critically about what that means. So let's take a closer look of some of what we'll call the mission statements of Jesus to help us understand his mission better. So what he's doing in the world today, and how does he expect us to be a part of it? That's a question I have here for you. So if there's one word that can help us understand this topic, there's a lot of words, but one word I like would be gather. Jesus is the one who's sent by the Father to the world to gather a people for himself. He's described as the good shepherd who gathers his flock, and he cares for it. So Psalm 95:7 says, "For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture. The flock is under his care. Today, if you would only hear his voice." And then John 10 also refers to Jesus as a shepherd. John 10:11 says, Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." John 10:14, a couple verses later, Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me." It's very personal. Matthew 20:28 says, "Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." And then Luke 11:23 says, Jesus said, "Whoever is not with me is against me. And whoever does not gather with me scatters." So some challenging words from Jesus there. And then Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." So these are some of the purposeful mission statements of Jesus. And there's more, but I'm limiting it to that for now. So two questions to consider today. And I have a couple things to go over, and it won't take too long. But I think it'll be of value to you. So two questions to consider. One, are you with Jesus? Are you a person basically who's been gathered out of the world and made a part of the family of God? If not, today is the day you can repent and believe in Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Any day, any moment in time. But if you're not with Jesus, then you're not a part of his family. And then two, if you are you a part of the family business? So we talk a lot about family business. It's kind of like an American concept. It's pretty cool. But Jesus, his family business is preaching the kingdom of God and making disciples. So I think we're all a part of that in some fashion, but are we a part of it in the way that Jesus is calling us to be a part of it? So let's take a look at that. So basically, do we truly understand the work that Jesus is actively doing in the world today? And are you available to help him gather others into the kingdom and help them grow as disciples of Jesus? So think about those two things. Now, Matthew's gospel has really we call it the 2:19s. So I'm going to quiz you really quick, and don't be scared. I know people usually don't talk in church when the pastor's talking, but I'm not the pastor, so it's okay. I like interaction, so a couple interactive points here. Does anyone know, and you don't have to nail it like perfectly, but does anyone just basically have Matthew 4:19 memorized? Matthew 4:19. Somebody's got it. I know you do. I'll give you a hint. As Jesus said to them, "Come, follow." Bingo. Got it, Rachel. Nice work. Yeah. So Jesus said, "Come, follow me, and I will make you into fishers of men." Okay? That's interesting. You think of the other one, that's Matthew 4:19. It's like bookends in the book of Matthew, the first bookend. And then after that, Matthew 28:19. Does anyone know that? It's just one of the verses from the gospel. Matthew 28:19, he said, "Therefore go," and what? "Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." Right, exactly. And there's more to that. Yes. So the 2:19s. Come. Think of this as the pull and push of the rhythm of life of Jesus and being a follower of him. He's constantly pulling us in and saying, "Come, follow me." And then he's pushing us out into the world and into the harvest and saying, "Now go and make disciples. Come, follow me. Do what I do. Go out and make disciples." So those verses, you have a preconceived definition and thought pattern of what that means in your mind. Some of us, I think, for a long time, I mostly thought of like, "Oh, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men." That's like a salvation verse. Like, if you decide to follow Jesus with your life, then you can be saved, and now you're following Jesus. It's like, yeah, but that's not exactly how the disciples understood that call, and that's not exactly what happened with them. So think about it from their point of view. "Come, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men." Wasn't it just come? Okay, now you're saved. Now you're in the kingdom. You've prayed the prayer. You've walked the aisle. You've done something. Now you're a follower of Jesus. It's like, yeah, technically, but following Jesus, like for them, was like, okay, I actually have to learn how to follow him. Like, and I need to go spend time with him now to learn what he did and how he did it. So think about that and what that all entailed. So you got the pull, come follow me, and push, go make disciples. All right, so well-known verses. And so in terms of the first one, let's tackle the pull really quick. It's important that we stop here because we can easily miss the fact that Jesus' disciples actually started following Jesus and living life with him. It wasn't like they were like, "Okay, cool. Yeah, we'll follow you. Awesome. Like, go do your thing. I'm going to keep fishing." They dropped their nets, left their fishing business, and went and followed Jesus and lived life with him and learned his ways and learned from the master himself face to face, life on life. You know what I mean? They didn't just like check the box and then kind of go keep doing what they're doing. They really had to radically learn how to change their lifestyle. Let's see, where was I here? So in Mark 3:14, it says that Jesus appointed the 12. So of all the disciples that he had following at the time, in Mark 3:14, he chose from among the disciples 12 of them. So there was more than 12 at first, but he chose 12, and it says that they might be with him. We call this in the Navigators the with him principle. If he was going to pass on his life and his ways of living to the next generation of disciples so that they could pass their way of living on to the next generation and so on and so forth, then they were going to have to be with him. That's really, really important to think about. Think about in terms of how we make disciples today. So he chose some of the disciples to teach him his ways of life and his ways of ministry, his methods to seek and save the lost, and also to train the next generation to continue his work after he leaves. If we want people to continue our work of ministry, we have to train them up so that they can go out and do it on their own, even if we're gone. So he was training up a spiritual generations of laborers to work with him and for his glorious purpose. And that's what you're called to, Christians, is to work in God's glorious purpose. Like it's not like, okay, I get to just decide to give my life to Jesus, follow him. Now I get to die one day and go to heaven. Sweet. That is sweet. But, like, it's so much more than that. Like, and I know you all know this, but I'm trying to help us understand from Jesus' perspective how much more even than we understand it is. So, his method to seek and save the lost and also to train the next generation to continue his work after he leaves, right? He trains up these spiritual generations. Your life has deep and meaningful and powerful purpose, and God's offering you, calling you into that. Anyone who believes in him to join his work in building his kingdom and to fulfill their purpose on earth. And we sort of farmed this out to like professionals and experts in the American church. Like we've Americanized Christianity in a weird way, and every culture does this. Like you're just ingrained with your culture, like we all are, and the Chinese are, and everybody. So we sort of like, okay, all the experts are the ones that do the ministry, the pastor and the leadership team and the elders and the bishops and the deacons and the worship leaders and you know what I mean? And like, and then we just come and we kind of support that effort. And that's great. Like, that's good. Like, what we're doing here today is good. We're coming together and fellowshipping and helping equip each other to go out. But it's really what really is making a difference in the lives of other people that either don't know Jesus or need to know him more, is what we do. Let's say we're in church for 2 hours a week. How many hours are there in a week? 168. It's what we do with the other 166 hours that really makes an eternal impact and a difference, not what we do in here alone. But this matters too, okay? All right, so let that sink in for a second. But come follow me, Jesus said. So that included some of the things that included. Let's just unpack it a little bit and think just like logically about it. How did Jesus do life-to-life discipleship? He passed his life and his ways of living on to the disciples. He didn't just give them teachings and academic knowledge and information. He literally passed on how he did everything to them by living life with them. It's awesome. It's so simple, really. It's almost just like how you raise kids. Like, that's how you raise kids. Like, they literally watch you, and they learn everything from you, what you do. You ever notice parents, how they do a lot of what you do and not what you say? That's because more things are caught than taught. Just remember that. That's like an epic parenting principle that someone shared with me. And it's a discipleship principle. More is caught than taught. All right. So what did Jesus do with his disciples? He ate meals with them. He traveled all over with them. He went to different towns and villages. They walked miles and miles together. He traveled in boats with them. He spent the night all over the place in different places together with them. He prayed for them. He prayed with them. He prayed in front of them. He taught them how to pray. He preached the good news of the kingdom to them, and he preached the good news of the kingdom to others in front of them. He explained his teachings further to them and answered their questions. After he would teach the crowds, he would debrief with them, and they'd ask him further questions, and he'd unpack his teachings more. He healed people and he cast out demons and he raised people from the dead in front of them. He hiked up mountains with them. He fed people with them. He served people with them. He washed their feet. He talked with sinners with them. He preached and he teached to others in front of them and to them. He sent them out to preach and minister to others, and he debriefed with them when they got back. It goes on and on and on. Just like I was just sitting there when I was typing this out, just thinking of everything I could just picture as it was coming to my mind of what Jesus did with the disciples. Like, what was he doing while they were with him? And it goes on so much further than this, the list. But I'm just giving you a picture of, holy moly, like Jesus did a lot of different things with his disciples. How do you think they learned what to do? They were with him. They literally were with him, and they saw him do it, and they heard what he said, and they saw his actions. It's pretty cool. So when you read the Gospels, you get a sense that Jesus was the master of living life with those that he was training, and they were being trained by his life, okay, and how to live theirs. It's so simple, we can gloss over it and just, like, boom, just right over it and miss it. But it's so profound and has deep implications for how fruitful our lives can and should be. His way of making disciples was his life. That's his program. That's his strategy. That's his method. His way, Jesus's way of disciple making was his life. He passed his life on to others. It's very important to get this if we're going to understand what the push in the Great Commission is in Matthew 28:19. So just think about that. Man, what did Jesus do in his life? All of the things, all of the aspects of, you know what we're super good at? Like, and I'm super good at, and it's just, I don't know how other churches in other countries are, but as Americans, we're super good at compartmentalizing our lives. And I don't know if we like to do it, because we're super, like, we're rugged individualists by nature. Like, that's kind of like the, you know, America was founded on certain principles like that. But he didn't compartmentalize his life at all. He just lived his life with his disciples, and they learned from him everything. All right, so let's talk about the push. The push, Matthew 28:19, right? Therefore, go now and make disciples. Jesus didn't just mean make converts. See, like Matthew 4:19 and 28:19, I think we sort of think of it just as converts. Like, making disciples just means bringing somebody to church, or somebody gets saved, they become a Christian. Like, cool. And that box is checked, and now it's like, keep focusing on new people becoming Christians. That's really good. Like, we need to be focusing on evangelism. But that's not necessarily training them to take over after we're gone. Like, we're all getting older. You have to train the next generation of Jesus followers, or they're not going to know how to train the next one after them. So, he chose the 12 to be his disciples and to be with him, so he didn't ask him to simply repent and believe, or just pray a prayer, or walk up the aisle and then come back for a couple hours a week, and then just, go ahead and ride things out till we die and then go to heaven. But it's the rest of the rest of the week and the rest of the world passes us on, and like, if others are truly headed to hell and need to know what Jesus did for them and how much he loves them and how they can actually know the God who created them, That's important. So, and I know we share all this sentiment too. I know this church is a family who cares. We care about our coworkers. You care about your coworkers and so on. I know that we have love in our hearts and desire to share God's love with people around us. I've experienced that here in this church for 4.5 years, and it's been awesome at First Baptist Coronado. So how do we each individually join the work of Jesus and what he's doing today to make disciples? And not just farm it out to the professionals in ministry, like the missionaries and the pastors and so on and so forth. How do we not do that? How do we see ourselves as individual disciple makers, join that work? So there's a part for all of us in that, and it's really, really glorious. It's a purpose for your life. Like, you know, if anyone titled a book well, it was Rick Warren, The Purpose-Driven Life. Like, that's so fitting. So put yourselves in the shoes of the disciples. When Jesus called them to the mountain and told them these words, right, Matthew 4:19, what do you think went them, 28:19, sorry. What do you think went through their heads versus what goes through our heads? Like, what memories do you think they recalled and things they remembered about Jesus and what he taught them and what he did when they heard the phrase, go and make disciples? They couldn't think of like, oh, he said, go and make disciples. All right, I got to think back to that one time that he taught me that one lesson on how to make disciples. There was a disciple, how to make disciples lesson somewhere in there. We were sitting there eating manna or pita bread or whatever. No, but it's not, they can't. You can't even look, find it in the Bible where Jesus had this one lesson was, okay, this is a lesson on how to make disciples. You can't find the quote in there because his entire life, the gospels are literally about how he made disciples by living life with them. And he showed them how to do everything. So that's what they were thinking. He says, okay, go make disciples. All they could think of was that he chose them and he said, come follow me. And they did. And he lived life with them and gave his life away to train them day in and day out for 3 years. That's the only way they knew how to make disciples. So that's what they did. And that's what we're called to do as well. Luke 6:40 says, a disciple is not above his teacher. But when his disciple is fully trained, he will be like his teacher. Interesting. That's how Jesus, the master disciple maker, trained the 12. And look at what that looked like as they moved into this. Remember Pentecost? Peter's out there preaching Jesus as the Messiah to the people. People are receiving the word of God, and people are being saved and being baptized. And here's how the earliest Christians were living. Acts 2:42-47 says, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayers, and awe came upon every soul, and many were together, and they had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as had need. And day by day, attending the temple together, breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. That sure sounds a lot like what we read in the Gospels about how Jesus lived life with the 12 also, and how he ministered to them and the world around him. Now, some of that's descriptive too. You don't have to copy that exactly, and just like, that doesn't mean you go sell all your possessions all of a sudden. But like, they were responding to the need they had at the time in their family of other believers, and that's what they needed to do, so they did it. But that time that they spent together was undeniable. So to wrap it up here, let's ask ourselves right now how I can pull closer to Jesus and live like he did this week, and how I can push myself outside of my comfort zone a little and into the harvest, or the harvest that's around me daily this week, to share the good news of Christ, the Messiah, the Savior for all mankind, with someone around me, all right? How can I invite someone else who I could mentor or disciple into my life this week to share my time and my life and my ways with them? The beautiful thing is that we don't have to go to seminary or study discipleship academically for the next 5 years to get started. Jesus taught his disciples by showing them and letting them learn on the job. And we learn by doing and making some mistakes along the way. That's okay. Just ask yourself, do I eat? Do I pray? Do I read my Bible? Do I exercise? Do I talk to other people about my faith? Do I play sports? Do I hang out with friends and other Christians? Do I go to church, Bible studies, the beach, movies? Every single one of those things can be done with someone else you're trying to disciple. Let's not privatize or compartmentalize our lives. Social, work, spiritual, kind of like chamber it like that. You name it. It's all for God, and it's all part of life. And anyone in this room can make a disciple like Jesus did and be a part of the great and glorious and purposeful co-mission. Day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year. It takes time. But you just need to get started with someone and do your real life with them. Life to life discipleship. You'll grow as they grow. You don't have to know it all now. So now, after we talked about all these things and how Jesus lived and how he trained the disciples, do the words of Jesus in Matthew 4:19 and 28:19 sound a little bit different to you or bring something else to mind? Come follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Therefore, go and make disciples in the name and baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all that I've commanded you. And behold, I'm with you to the end of the age. This is not something we do alone. Does it sound different? Can you see it now a little more clearly? I hope so. But we can do this. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for giving your life as a ransom for many, for all of us, that we can accept the fact that you love us and that you died for us in our place so that we can live with a purpose and live in freedom and live with a restored relationship with you and with the Father in heaven who loves us. And we just give you praise and honor for that, Jesus. And thank you for giving your life every single day to serve other people and to train the disciples and equip them for the ministry you were going to leave them with so that they could make disciples afterwards. And after they're far long gone, it just kept going from there. And here we are today, Jesus, worshiping you. And help us to see what it is to follow you on your terms and make disciples your way and be a church that lives missionally 168 hours a week. We love you, Jesus. We praise you in your name. Amen.